Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour.
Welcome to back to VFN Radio. This is John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And if you're just joining us, my goodness, we had a great first hour. Don't forget you can catch us on the 24 loop. But Pat, wasn't that just awesome? Mm-hmm. We're just talking about these Iranian women that are just taking the gospel to Iran.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, does that fire you up or what?
My goodness, they make the American church look pathetic.
I mean,
these guys, amazing.
I mean, they didn't sit on their lazy boys. They weren't talking about more things that they needed to do and go to the mall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they got out there and they did the work of the Lord. You got to ask yourself, I mean, if there was enough, if you were arrested now, Pat, Chris, I mean, you guys, but I'm just asking the question loud here. Well, I'm finishing. If you were arrested for being a Christian, I'm not asking you directly the question, but,
right.
Mm-hmm. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, I'm asking you.
I would hope so.
Right?
would there be enough evidence?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they arrested them, and what did they do? They were a threat. They were a threat because of their fruit in their life. They were being followed. And then when they got to their home, they found additional evidence that supported their belief that these women were Christians, that they were distributing. They had satellite. They had the Jesus movie. They had Bibles.
They had it going on.
And it just makes you think about all the excuses that people make about why they can't obey a God, you know, why they can't do what God's asked us to do. I mean, he says, go into all the world. Forget all the world. We can't get people to go outside the front door, much less go into all the world. You know what I mean?
Right. Go down the street, next door.
Go tell your neighbor Jesus loves you. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. And these women risked it all. And I mean, isn't that what living for God is all about? It's not my will, but your will. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it's not about me living, right? But let your will be done. It's about living the crucified life. Which is the only way to have abundant life in God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, your desires, your your plans, I mean, who are we to devise plans and ideas? And it's like, what? God is the one who's in charge. He's the one that's mapping all of this out.
That's right.
We talked yesterday about on VFN Radio, instead of us falling into the trap of trying to get God to bless our plans, Lord, would you? Why don't we just ask God, Lord, what are your plans? What are your plans so that I can jump both of my feet into your plans and the will of God?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, that's the place to be. God's plan, God's way, God's timing. Let me tell you, happiness and success. You know what I'm saying? Because he's the boss. He's the boss. Well, you know, on VFN Radio, we shared, and Pat, Chris, you can remember this, God and Hitler.
Mm.
And Hitler's plan not only to kill the Jews,
right,
but to kill Christians too.
Yeah.
And this was a fantastic segment. Because, I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was a deeper plan there.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And what we found out was astonishing.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy, we knew he was a very evil dude to begin with when he killed 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But to go further and replace all the Bibles with your own Bible.
The Ten Commandments with his own.
With his own. And he thought he'd help out and add two more additional commandments.
Yeah, 10 wasn't enough. He needed 12.
He needed 12.
Wrote his own prayer to himself.
Yeah, yeah. His own prayer to himself. It's like, this is deception of the worst kind.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm talking about? And talking about Iran, Aryan, I mean, even we've been talking about Iran today. It's like, oh my goodness, the connection here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just totally demonic. But in part two of this, we're going to listen to that it was an amazing minister, a theologian, a man of God by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who God used, I mean, strategically. This man had prophetic insight where most of the church at this time was completely blinded. I mean, don't forget that Hitler made an agreement, and the Catholic Church made an agreement with Hitler. I mean, he was able to just hoodwink them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He deceived them, and and they thought that he would give them religious freedom, and it's the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He ripped it to shreds. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer was not deceived. Let me tell you something. The greatest way that people are going to be deceived because they're not abiding.
That's right.
You know, when you have only 19%, according to George Barna, 19% of the Christians are actually abiding and hearing God's word. The greatest way you can prevent yourself from being deceived is by spending time with Jesus. And if you abide with the Lord, he is going to tell you everything that you need to know. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was not deceived. He was not a Christian that deceived. He heard the voice of God, and he obeyed. And we want you to listen to this segment. We want you to be encouraged to just his life and see what happens when you just abide and you just respond and you spend time with the Lord and you do what God is instructing you to do. Listen up.
On July 20th, 1944, the closest attempt to assassinate Adolf Hitler failed. As a result, the resistance movement in Germany was destroyed, and almost 5,000 people were executed. Theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of them.
Germany, 1939. Hitler's rise to power stunned everyone with its speed and ferocity. The world watched in horror as the Nazis bullied first a nation and then a continent. But in Germany, a resistance was building that worked to dismantle the Third Reich from the inside. Their primary aim, assassinate Hitler. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian and pastor, was a leader in the cause. I sat down with author Eric Metaxas to discuss his new bestseller on Bonhoeffer's life of faith. Bonhoeffer, subtitled, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. Wow. Why Bonhoeffer? Why do you want to do this?
Today, as Christians, we need role models. We need people. But there's something about Bonhoeffer. To me, he's the ultimate role model for Christians today.
Bonhoeffer grew up in an educated and artistic family in Germany. His father was a distinguished brain chemist, while his brother worked with Albert Einstein to split the atom. Bonhoeffer chose the field of theology. And while doing postgraduate studies at Union Theological Seminary in New York, he was surprised by what he found, or rather, what he didn't find.
In New York, they preach about virtually everything. Only one thing is not addressed, or is addressed so rarely, I have yet been able to hear it, namely, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross, sin, forgiveness, death, and life.
Yeah.
That sounds like today. That's
80 years ago he wrote those words about the state of
80 years ago, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in New York City going to college, and he's from Germany. He said, this is what they're not doing. They're not talking about Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the cross. They're not preaching against sin. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's the same thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And we're talking about this mercy plank, we're talking about, my goodness, we got to wake up. Listen to this.
Of mainstream Protestantism in New York City.
While he didn't find sound theology in most of the churches in New York, he was inspired when he went to Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem.
And for the first time in his life, he sees African Americans worshiping the gospel preached with fire, with power. Everything about it touched his heart, moved him, and so he went every single Sunday, not just to worship, but to teach Sunday school. I think he also taught some adult Sunday school, so he got very involved.
White German in a black church at the beginning of the 1930s, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He really was gripped by the whole idea of the racism and race relations in the U.S. There was nothing to compare this to in Germany. In other words, this was an American problem. Of course, just a couple of years later, Hitler becomes chancellor in 1933, and everything changes. Suddenly now, Bonhoeffer is facing, in Germany, exactly what he saw here. He saw a group of people, the Jews, being made to be second-class citizens, and he was, from day one, vocally fighting against it, one of the few Christians who understood what he saw.
He had foreknowledge, it was almost like a prophetic insight into what was coming in Germany in regard to Hitler. He read it early out.
I believe it was a prophetic insight.
And it cost him.
It always does.
To try to tell the German church,
yeah,
what became the Reich Church,
yeah,
that Hitler was evil,
yeah,
nobody was buying this.
No, it's a stunning thing to see how the churches and how the conservatives were co-opted and snowed by Adolf Hitler. Hitler was a genius in that he was profoundly cynical to the bottom, and he used the churches brilliantly.
Bonhoeffer helped found the Confessing Church, which opposed Hitler and the Third Reich, primarily their anti-Christian and anti-Jewish stands. But even with the Confessing Church, Bonhoeffer was almost alone in recognizing the depth of the problem.
He was always a step ahead and trying to rally them. And a few times he succeeded, but mostly he was alone.
Another issue that obviously came to the fore was identification with the gospel comes first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Yeah. That cost him.
Bonhoeffer is reading the scriptures and trying to show his fellow Christians that in the church there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. If a Jew wants to be a part of this church, we are obligated as Christians to welcome him in, to worship with him. This is the place, Bonhoeffer said, the church is the place where Jew and Christian stand together. Now, not only could the Nazis not see this, but many in the church could not see this. He wrote a circular letter where he's basically saying that what the Nazis have done to the Jews in Germany, they have done to God's people. The burning of the synagogues, this is an attack on God.
A spy.
A spy.
How did he become a spy?
1939 comes around and Bonhoeffer realizes he will be drafted, but he would not fight in Hitler's war.
Bonhoeffer sailed to safety in America, but after only 26 days there, he was on the last ship to cross the Atlantic before the war started.
He's seeking the will of God, and the Lord calls him back to Germany. He knew, I will have no peace in New York. Well, Bonhoeffer's family were all very, very involved in the conspiracy against Adolf Hitler. He had been providing them moral support, but this was the moment of decision. Do I take another step?
Bonhoeffer joined the Abwehr German military intelligence as a double agent. He acted as a courier for the Third Reich, but used these opportunities to make contact with the Allied forces across Europe.
He had it absolutely resolved in his mind, philosophically, spiritually, biblically, that he could justify being involved in a direct assassination plot.
Yeah.
How did he resolve that with, say, Bible verses, Romans 13? It said you're supposed to obey those in authority.
Sure. Even many good Germans had no idea what was really going on, but Bonhoeffer knew. And he thought, if I, as a Christian, am unwilling to get my hands dirty to protect scores of thousands and millions of innocent Jews, I will not be able to stand before a holy God. And to have some fussy theological argument about, well, do I do this? Sometimes God requires you in obedience to take action.
But before the assassination plan could be carried out, Bonhoeffer was arrested and sent to Tegel military prison.
He was involved in trying to get a number of Jews out of Germany to safety.
Bonhoeffer was still in prison awaiting trial On July 20th, 1944, when the plot to assassinate Hitler failed.
Now the entire conspiracy, which has been working for on and off for practically 10 years, is completely exposed. At that moment, of course, Bonhoeffer's days are numbered.
Bonhoeffer was transferred to a Gestapo prison and then to a concentration camp. On April 9, 1945, with the sound of American guns in the distance, Bonhoeffer was executed by hanging under the direct order of Hitler. Less than 3 weeks later, Hitler committed suicide and Germany surrendered to the Allies.
It's really tempting for us to look at this as a great tragedy. It's so sad, but I think that Bonhoeffer himself would rebuke us for having that point of view. And he would say, yes, there's a sadness, but to serve God with everything you have unto death is the greatest joy of life.
What's the message of his legacy to 21st century Christians or non-Christians?
He's the ultimate witness to a world that is not Christian, that he calls people to God with an authenticity that is literally, in my experience, unique. And it's a very, very important thing for us to understand that this man was a prophet of God and he was utterly obedient to the Lord. For me, the joy of telling this story is to rediscover Bonhoeffer for a generation that never knew him.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the real thing.
The real thing.
It was the real thing.
You know, that's so amazing. You're hearing about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And this is part two of God and Hitler. And this amazing man of God. I mean, he abided with God. Literally, this is hellacious things that are happening. I mean, you're talking about an absolutely man, Adolf Hitler, who had demonic orders.
Yeah.
I mean, totally given over to Satan. And killing 6 million Jews. I mean, these are atrocities that are happening. And prior to all of that, he leaves over to the United States, realizes that, you know, these guys are not even preaching the gospel. He finds this church in Harlem.
Yeah.
With African American church, and he's this white German in 1930s.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, 1950s were hanging people. 1930s.
Yeah.
You know, and he sees this as authentic. I want to be a part of this, what God's doing here. And he was perplexed because in Germany they didn't have anything. They didn't see this there. This the races and segregation and prejudice. Like, what is this?
Yeah. He's about to find out.
He was about to find out, only to find out what was gonna happen to the Jews. It's like God allowed him to see that. You know, every part of your journey is not an accident. God's allowing you to experience and witness things. Not just for you, but where he's taking you on the journey.
Yeah.
So he's back in Germany, and he sees what's happening with Adolf Hitler and sees what's happening with the Jews and how the church was deceived. But he wasn't deceived. He wasn't deceived. Let me tell you something. Abide with Jesus Christ. If you've been hearing the word abiding, you've been hearing us talk about abiding, you can request a simple plan at iabide.org. Free doesn't cost you a thing. But in this simple plan, you're going to find out how you can spend time with the Lord, read his word, hear his voice, because God does speak. God does speak. And so here's Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who gets, drafted into Hitler's army. He's like, I am not going to be killing nobody. I'm not, what do you do? You're drafted. What do you do?
Right, right.
But he realizes that, you know what? I was called for such a time as this. I was called for such a time as this. But I may be getting these a little bit confused. But the last, I thought was interesting, that the last ship out.
Yeah.
He gets on the last ship out of Germany and spends 26 days.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
26 days. While everybody was running out of hell, literally. I mean, they are getting out of there. You know. Those that listened and obeyed. I mean, Greg and I were in the Holocaust Museum in Manhattan in Battery Park, and which is an overwhelming experience. And one of the things that we learned there was that a lot of the Jews didn't leave when they had plenty of warning to leave because they didn't want to give up their comfort
their
and
stuff.
Convenience. Yeah, there is a time to leave. There's a time to obey God. And it's not, it's a now thing. It's urgent. I mean, God told, The angels told Lot, the messenger told Lot, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
You got to move when God says to move. And because they didn't, they were caught. But he, once again, he's listening. He's listening, and he gets on the last ship. He's out. But while he's in America, he says, I'm called to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stop this. You know, you may be thinking, I'm just one person. What can I do? Let me tell you something. You and God are a majority anywhere.
Yeah.
You and God are a majority anywhere. Because it's never been about us. It's only to be about God. You know, he's not looking for your ability or your inability. He doesn't need either one. He's looking for your availability. And if you make yourself available to God, he'll use you just like he used Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he'll give you the grace to go back into the face of hell. And God empowered him to cut, you know, he was part of this 10-year plan to take out Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy was a man of God.
Yeah.
He walked in truth. He was a prophet, and he was a spy. I mean, he's a double agent. This guy had it going on.
He had it all.
I mean, think about it. He had it going on.
Yeah.
And tragically, he gets exposed, that the plot was exposed, and this failed attempt on Hitler's life didn't happen. He winds up being sent to prison, and eventually, Hitler himself, there's a distinction there, sentences him to hang. And then 3 weeks later, Hitler winds up hanging himself. Let me tell you something. If you're not living for this life, it's not really sad. It's not really said. Let me tell you, Jesus is welcoming Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he is not to be pitied or you know, I'm sure he didn't want no pity, because what an honor to be able to offer your life as a sacrifice like that.
Mm.
What an honor to stand in a gap. And where are the Dietrich Bonhoeffers today? Where are those that are willing to say, you know what, it's going to cost me everything. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I'm going to have to pick up my cross and follow him. And I'm not living for this life. I'm living for the life to come. And I only live to do the will of the Father anyway.
Right.
And I've only got this one life. And when this one life vapor is over,
that's right,
I'm going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are living without the reality that you are going to see Jesus? You're going to see him. And you all have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to have some explain. What are you going to have for him?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for those of us believers that live in America, it's like, God set us up. He said, I've given you everything that you need to fulfill the destiny that I've placed on the inside of you.
Right.
What did you do with it? Are we going to take our talents, like the parable, and bury them in the dirt? Or are we going to invest everything we have for the kingdom of God in this brief moment vapor? You know what? And if it's over, it's over. You know, if we're not living for this life. If you're living for this life, then you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living for the life to come, if you're living to put a smile on Jesus' face, if you're living to do the will of the Father, you're going to have grace to endure what lies ahead.
That's right.
And so it's time for the Dietrichs,
the
Dietrich Bonhoeffers, to say, you know what? I'm gonna get out of I'm gonna get out of this comfort zone, and I'm going right back in, because I want to do the will of the Father. You're listening to VFN Radio, and we'll be right back with the second part of this.
Can you hire or fire on religious practices? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son went to a super center, told him he was going to put his application in for a job, and that he couldn't work Sundays. Yeah. The gentleman told him that he had no position in the store for him to work if he could not work on Sundays.
Well, it depends if it's a bona fide occupational qualification, if there's other reasonable accommodation. And Walmart has been generally very good at these things. So we need to find out the exact specifics of what the opening was. Was it a Sunday-only opening? But generally, under Title VII, they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation. They certainly can't hire or fire based on religious practice. That would be a violation of the rules. But again, Walmart generally very receptive to meeting the religious accommodation needs of its employees. Hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with some of our lawyers here and see if we can get you some help.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the great commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. Now, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We want to we're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their Father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
Welcome back to VFN VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me here today on the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris. And we're just listening to the second part of God and Hitler about the life of pastor, prophet, spy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and how God just moved in his heart, and he felt he had to do something to stop what was happening in Germany. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to listen to the second part of this segment that was shared on CBN, and just listen up.
When he wrote his wonderful book, The Cost of Discipleship, he opened with this line: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer certainly paid that price, and he paid with his own life. But it was not without his own internal struggle. As he looked at what Adolf Hitler was doing to Germany, he had this to say to a friend: it is not only my task to look after the victims of madmen who drive a motor car in a crowded street, but to do all in my power to stop their driving at all. And with that, he came to his own conclusion that he had to join the resistance, that he had to literally sacrifice his own righteousness. And that's how he put it: I have to sacrifice my righteousness so I can stop Adolf Hitler. Now, when you look at the atrocities of the Nazis, you have to look at it from the standpoint of, well, who built the prison camps? Who built the ovens? Who built the gas chambers? They had to know what the purpose was. Who operated them? Who loaded the trains? Who unloaded the trains? Each step of this way, you look at it from the outside and you go, there's guilt here. There's blame here. Why didn't they stand up for what was right? Why did the Protestant Church of Germany fail so miserably in stopping Hitler? Well, there was a professor at Yale. He asked the same question. And he asked it during the time of the Adolf Eichmann trial in 1961. And what he asked was, what is the validity of the so-called Nuremberg defense, that I was just under orders, I was just obeying orders? And with that, you get the dichotomy of Romans chapter 13, where Paul commands us to obey those in authority. On the other side of that, you have what Peter and John said to the Sanhedrin when they ordered them not to preach the gospel. They said, we can't help but obey God. Which do we obey, man or God? We can't help but obey God. And that's the choice that every Christian is faced with. If you think this is an isolation and somehow if you were in Nazi Germany, you wouldn't have obeyed, well, think again, because Stanley Milgram found an incredible result. Going into this experiment, he did a survey of the psychology department at Yale, both the students and the professors, and they all said, well, you'll probably get 1-2% of the participants actually going forward and obeying orders to literally kill somebody. That will be the response rate. Everybody else is going to be strong morally, and they're going to turn against authority. They won't do it. Well, here's his experiment. You have three participants. You have an experimenter, the participant, and the supposed victim. And all of this is made up. And what was going on was a series of progressive electrical shocks, each 15 volts higher. And what was going on is the experimenter is dressed in a lab coat. He's there on behalf of science, and we're measuring the effects of memory. And then you have an actor in another room. And this actor in the other room would make pretend screams, and then they would have piped-in electrical noises as the electrical shock is administered. And then the actor would start complaining that he has a heart condition and this is killing him. And in this whole process, the participant, the subject of the experiment, is told to continue to administer shocks. Every time the actor gets it wrong on the memory test, they're supposed to continue to give them shocks. Well, as you'd expect, most people start objecting. And then the authority figure, the experimenter in the lab coat, would come in and he'd give them four different prompts. And these were all scripted for every single one. The first time the subject objected, the experimenter would say, please continue. And usually that was all it took, just a please continue, and they would continue to administer shots. And then as the thing progressed, they'd go to number two, the experiment requires that you continue. And then when it got worse, it was number three, it's absolutely essential that you continue. And then they got to number four, you have no other choice. You must go on. And then they would add a little kicker, there's no tissue damage happening. This is fine. Well, what were the results? You know, if you think you wouldn't be part of this, 25 of the 40 participants administered the highest lethal shock, and what in their minds was 450 volts of electricity. Now, the average outlet in the home in America is 110 volts. In Europe, it's 220 volts. You know, it's a lethal shock. And when you start thinking 25 of 40 participants went all the way to kill someone in an experiment, there was only one participant who would not go over 300 volts. And that one participant was studying electrical engineering and had personally experienced shocks and said, I don't care what you're doing. I know this hurts. I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, that's what the results were. And these weren't just average participants. Every one of the people here were all Yale students. And many of them suffered trauma after this experiment because they realized they too were capable of killing when someone ordered them to. You look at the genocide, you look at what happened under Hitler, and you say, never again. Well, genocides have been happening again and again. Just from since 1950, here are the genocides with over 500,000 victims. Cambodia, Rwanda, Pakistan, Indonesia, and currently in Sudan, one of the greatest human tragedies of our day. All of this happening because people are obeying orders and not obeying God. So today, make up your mind. Are you going to be a Peter and John? And would you have the willingness to stand up to the Sanhedrin, knowing that your very life was at stake? Would you have the courage of a Bonhoeffer, knowing your very life is at stake? Whatever position you have, would you obey God or would you obey authority?
This is amazing, because you think about this, you know, Adolf Hitler, one man, although he was responsible and absolutely he killed 6 million Jews, he didn't kill them all personally himself. Right. He didn't send them all to the furnace himself. He didn't, you know, send them to the ghettos and confiscate them and do the torturous things that they did to them, all 6 million of them.
Right.
There were other people that were involved, those that obeyed orders. And right. In this trial, that this experiment that he's talking about, which is, I mean, just goes to show you. They thought, well, you only get maybe 2% of people that will actually participate, that actually go with this experiment to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, think about it. They thought They were giving someone electrical shock, and just with a simple command. I mean, they weren't twisting their arm.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. They would follow, and close to 25 out of 40 people.
Yeah. That's over half.
That's over half.
Yeah.
Went all the way and killed somebody because of an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Weren't people capable? Did they not kill Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, I can't believe there's evil. No, this always existed. This is nothing new. This is just showing what's in our heart if God's not in our heart. Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, I'm not talking about religion. Because
mm-hmm.
it was the religious people that did him in, did Jesus in. I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus, a relationship with the Lord. You can do anything. You can turn it over, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And let's not forget about JJ. It's still Jews and Jesus and the Christians. And someone can rise up. I mean, yes, we're supposed to obey our authority, but we're going to be like Peter. We're not going to obey any authority or law that contradicts the word of God. And it's going to hurt somebody. We're not going to, you're not going to do that if you're a believer. You're not going to do that if you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It may cost you something.
Right.
It may cost you your life. It may cost you imprisonment. But we cannot deny Jesus Christ. We cannot deny Jesus' word. And you look at what people were willing and capable to do. When we come back from this short break, we're going to talk more about this. But you're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
You've heard the warnings about dredging up the past in your marriage, right? Well, maybe a little dredging is just what your relationship needs. Hi, this is Jim Daly with Focus on the Family. Morehead City, North Carolina is home to one of the deepest ports on the East Coast. It's a vital passageway for commercial and military ships. But the port developed a serious problem when Hurricane Sandy deposited sand in the channel. And lots of it. Several areas that had once been almost 50 feet deep were reduced to only 5. Without dredging, the waterway would be inaccessible to ships, and a crucial port to the region would be shut down. Something similar can happen in our marriages. Unresolved conflict is like a never-ending storm between a husband and a wife, depositing a sludge of bitterness in their hearts. The relationship becomes shallow and stagnates. When this happens, it's time to dredge. Obviously, by dredging up the past, I'm not referring to its typical meaning of rehashing old conflict to punish your spouse for their mistakes. I'm suggesting a couple join together to work through the resentment that has bogged down their relationship. It's not easy, and some marriages need the guidance of a professional counselor to help them through it. But with patience and the willingness to forgive one another, the depth of love couples once had for one another can be restored. To learn more about dealing with hurts, visit us at FocusOnTheFamily.com. I'm Jim Daly.
Man, I know that you listen to VFN Radio
every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see, I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning. Man, it's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what you know the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say? You know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the BFM radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, it starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words.
Yeah. Well, we like
that are coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in. And
all
you're
the time.
And you're plugging in others,
yeah.
You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left. I mean, to use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord and get a fresh word. We always say
that. You're right. You know, I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we got to live for God like he's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving him, then serve them all the way, dive in head first, and just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through and how he saved me from death at 33 and how he's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like,
that's a beautiful journey.
There's just no way that I could have been, I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely going to get your testimony for VFN Radio.
Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
It is amazing how this is all working.
It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about, my goodness, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We're talking about those that are willing to go into the flames of hell, literally, to be willing to be used by God. Mm. And at the same time, we're seeing those that are willing to be used by the enemy to just hurt and kill people just on simple orders.
Right.
And just recently before the break, we were talking about this Nuremberg defense that they were using where they said, I'm just simply obeying orders. And it's like, really? Really, is that how little it takes? It's amazing how simply obeying orders is, you can justify that for your behavior. Yeah. But in other places, you don't want to follow orders.
Right,
that, you know, saying... For some reason, that same defense doesn't line up.
Crazy.
You know, and there's a book called Hitler's Beneficiaries, and it explores why and how Hitler was able to do the things that he was able to do and kill so many people. Jews, 6 million of them, is because there were a lot of people that were benefiting from this as well. And the author of this book goes into and speaks to how... the Nazis would come to Germans and say, here's some stuff on behalf of the Nazi party and Hitler, and they'd be getting all sorts of furniture and food. And these are people that were just basically recovering. I mean, Germany was just at the bottom that it could, you know, be economically, and unemployment. And all of a sudden, here's you know, Hitler giving you something.
Right.
I mean, we can go on for a long time for that. Be careful they give you.
Yeah.
Be careful what they give you. But there was beneficiaries. They were getting something in return for this. And by the way, well, they would drop something off to you and drop that color TV. I mean, they didn't have a color TV then, but, you know, dropping that stuff off. Here's that plasma. Oh, and by the way, we hate the Jews.
Yeah.
And it didn't take a couple more times probably to keep hearing those statements. All the while they were getting all this nice stuff. And you know where this nice stuff was coming from? It was coming right outside of the Jews' homes. Yeah. They were shipped out. Where did all that furniture go? Where did all their food go? Where did all their money go?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. There is evil. The same evil that was present at the time of Hitler. It's the same evil that's present today. And it's the same evil that was done, you know, in Jesus' day. Well, let me tell you. Where darkness abounds, much more does the grace of God abound.
That's right.
And light always, always overcomes darkness. And that's what we're doing on VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, L-I-G-H-T.
Mm-hmm.
We want to shed light on the darkness, because darkness has to run when the light is shown. And it just takes people that are abiding and spending time with the Lord to say, you know what, I won't bow down. I will not retreat. I will not give up God and his ways for anything, anyone, not even myself. I'm going to stand with God and God alone.
Mm-hmm.
And friend, no matter what that costs you, and it may cost you, no matter what that may cost you,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you something. In eternity, it will be all worth it.
That's right.
To do the will of God. Well, as we come to the end of the extra hour, we want to share about taking the land. You know, taking the land is so important because God has a place for you. He has something for you to do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he got something for you to do. And we find that, you know, when God was moving with the Israelites and God was using Moses, God was bringing them, the Israelites, into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. God had a place for them. For them, it was a territory. For you, it could be a ministry. It could be a job. It could be something that just God wants to do. Mm-hmm. But he was bringing them to a place, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And it was just God was doing it.
Right.
But, you know, just because God wants to do something for you, just because God has a plan, doesn't mean that you're going to get it hand-delivered, wrapped up in pretty, paper,
right,
with a nice little bow on it. Mm. You're going to have to do something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's going to require some effort. Yeah.
It's going to require effort. It's going to require faith. It's going to require your act. It's going to require humility. I mean, it's mm-hmm. going to require, how we say this, everything.
Yeah.
It's going to require everything.
Yeah. Death to self.
That's right. So in Numbers 13, Moses says, listen, I want you guys to go out there and spy out this land. I want you to explore Canaan. I want you to go through Negev, go into the hill country here. And I want you to tell me what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak or few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are there unwalled or fortified? Talking about their walls. Mm-hmm. How is their soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And so he's sending them out to spy it out. Go check this place out because God's bringing us there. Mm-hmm. So he sends them out and they're gathering all this information because, you know, when God says you do something, you got to put a plan of action together. Now, let me tell you something about putting a plan of action together and developing plans with God, okay? The first thing is that understand that you don't want a plan. We talked about this on yesterday, just so happens.
Yeah.
That starts in the heads of men. You want a plan that starts in the heart of God. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're not trying to get God to bless our plans. We're trying to hear God and say, God, what do you want to do? You're the author of this thing. What help me to formulate the plan. And since this is your plan, mm-hmm. I'm going to take each step as you direct, as you lead. And if you feel free at any moment to change, I guess, what, you know, since you're the one driving this car, you're the one, you know, the captain of this ship, since mm-hmm. you're the one piloting this plane, whatever you say, God, then I'll do, since this is your plan,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so you want to get that plan. So they're gathering this information, and then they basically come on back, and in verse 20 through 26 to 33, they begin to start giving a report to Moses on what they saw. And they go into this, you know, long, dreary thing. And they say, we did see the land flowing with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. When in verse 28 of chapter 13 in Numbers, the word God says, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites live there in Negev. And so then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who got up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And it's like, wait a second. You know, there were people that saw the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They saw it, but they were looking at it with a different paradigm, with a different pair of glasses. Let me tell you something. No matter what you're looking at, if you have prejudices, if you're have a preconceived mindset of how things need to be or how they're going to see, nothing in the world is going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was in their heart. They were reporting what they were already feeling in their heart.
Right.
I mean, they saw something, and so did Caleb. What's the difference here? They both saw the same thing. It wasn't so much that they were, you know, Moses wasn't asking for a wish list. Just give me the facts. Just give me the facts.
Yeah.
But what did Caleb say? He says, yeah. But we can take them. We can take them.
Right.
We can take the land. We can go forward. And we need to have a conquering spirit.
That's right.
You know, we need to be able to go into the land and not have a blind faith to say, okay, I'm gonna step out on nothing. You're never stepping out on nothing. It may appear that way, but you're not never stepping out on nothing. You're just stepping out. You're stepping out on God's truth.
That's right. On the
you're
word
stepping
of God.
Out on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You're stepping out on what God has said. You're stepping out on God, what he is saying. And you're stepping out on all the testimonies of how God has continually shown himself strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're stepping out on. And you'd start partaking of that and say, you know what? We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. Yeah, there may be giants in the land, but greater is he that who lives in me than he who lives in the world. And we have to, you know, recognize, are we going to have the fear of man, or we're going to have the fear of God? And are we going to be like Hebrews says, are we going to be those that shrink back are destroyed, or are we going to be those that move on and conquer in faith?
That's right.
You know, if God said it, then he's going to do it.
That's settled.
And if God is with you, if God is with you,
mm-hmm.
you're hearing his voice. Who can be against you? Who can be against you? God is looking. He's looking for a people that are willing to take the land for him, that are willing to go on the front lines like the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, that are willing to go on the front lines like these two women in Iran that distributed 20,000 Bibles and spent 259 days in prison. He's looking for people that will lay down their life and advance his kingdom. Will he find one in you?
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.